జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవిందం భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదుకి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదుకి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ వృందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Amishan Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuvileshim Devakti Vidamda Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasvi Prajarini Narvisheshim Nivadi Pasha Kidesha Dharini. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తత్కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యథ ప్రభు. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం శరణం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంబియల్ సూరయం. తేజో వాయుమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త గుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా వరేణీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాత్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమ ఆలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమాజుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మే. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తథో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశదారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, coming back to Ekadasha Skandam after a long break. I know it is difficult because Ekadasha Skandam is a very, very difficult canto in the Bhagavadam. And the experience from other people also is that even after hearing constantly, this canto Ekadasham, it doesn't easily stay in. It leaves us straight away. And particularly from now on, it gets more and more complicated. In the sense that when Krishna tells to Uddhava, also Navayogis in this later part of the discussions, especially in relationship with Maya and afterwards onwards from there, the mind has to become so focused to capture the message what's been spoken there. This is one of the difficulty. If the mind wanders around here and there, then like sitting here, but at the same time the mind goes elsewhere, then it may completely miss the whole thing. And that is one of the difficult thing in the Shravanam, in hearing. This hearing process becomes very helpful and beneficial as long as they say, if you hear like Parikshit. And when Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam, the desire to eat and sleep did not happen to him. He did not feel. He says that to Sudeva Goswami at the end, in the beginning of 10th canto. The beginning of 10th canto, he mentions this to Sri Sudeva Goswami that even for the desire to eat or to sleep has gone away from me, and I'm not feeling that necessity to, I'm not feeling the necessity of even my bodily requirements. So from there you can see that Shravanam, when you hear Bhagavatam, it is important to absorb the mind completely in the topic that is discussed from the Bhagavatam. That's one thing. Secondly, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, various thoughts will come, because that is the nature of the mind. Mind is nothing but a continuous flow of thoughts. So, in order to stop that flow of thoughts and to become completely fixed up in hearing about Krishna, it requires some practice also. Otherwise, we will easily when the taste has not developed particularly, we tend to fall asleep. So all these difficulties are there, and what to talk about having big breaks in between the Bhagavadams also. So I do know it is difficult that when we have long breaks, we lose that continuity of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyway, we will come back to Bhagavatam where we stopped before. Ekadashi Skandam, where the nine yogis, Navayogis, went to King Nimi and spoke about nine different questions, and answers were given at that point. Isn't it? That's where we are discussing. And in that, Kavi, Hari, Andarishan, Prabuddhan, Pipalayan, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamasa, Karabhajana, they are the nine sages who answered nine questions from King Nimi. The first question was Kavi's question. The first question that was raised was what is Bhagavata Dharmam? What is Krishna consciousness? So that question was answered by Kavi in the first 12 verses in the second chapter, where he said, Manye kudaschil bhayam achudasya padambujobhasanam atra nityam uddhidna bugde sadalpa bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartade bhi. That Kavi Maharshi said to King Nimi that before inquiring about Bhagavata Dharmam, you should find out what is the cause of material existence. That where did this fear come to a person? And he explained there that it is only purely due to asadalma bhavad. Asadalma bhavad means that our connection with asat. Everything is asat in this world. Sat is only inside the soul. The soul is the sat. Everything else is called asat. Everything else is called asat. All matter, everything in relationship with matter is called asat. Asat. So for one person who has totally absorbed in the matter, he is always associating with asat. And if he is associating with asat, he has to have fear in his mind. That cannot go away. Fear will be there for that person who is always absorbed in asat. That's why it is said, Udvigna buddhe asadalpa bhaval. Asadalpa bhava. This asadalpa bhavam is the problem. That Alma Bhavam we have lost already. Not only that, we have developed Asadalma Bhavam, associated with Asat. Once we do that, Vishwalmana, that we will lose that connection with the soul, super soul, who is pervading in everything. And there is no way one can free oneself this fear unless he takes to Manye kudaschil bhayam achudasya badam bujo basanam atra nityam. Unless one completely takes to the service of Krishna, pada achuda badam bujo basanam, that is the word Kavi uses there. Achuda badam bujo basanam atra nityam. If he takes to achuda badam bujo basanam, that point his fear goes away. This is how Kavi Maharshi spoke at that time to King Nimi. And later on you saw that how Kavi Maharshi expanded on that point. What this Bhagavata Dharma means. Where does Bhagavata Dharma begins? And the difference between Bhagavata Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma also was spoken there. We had talked about it in detail at that time. That Bhagavata Dharma difference from Bhagavata Dharma to Varnashrama Dharma is that Bhagavata Dharma is not bound by the laws of Varnashrama Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma, that is why when it was spoken by Vedavyasa Maharshi in the beginning, when Narada Maharshi instructed him, Vedavyasa Maharshi mentioned at that point that Srimad Bhagavatam has this one special quality. What was that? Tetva swadharmam charanam bujam harer bhajan abakveda padetat hoyedi. Even after performing Varnashrama Dharmam to a very high degree, to perfectly as possible, but tetva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer, even if one has given up that swadharmam, what is as per the Varnashrama Dharmam system, and if he has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, bhajan avakveda pade tadhoyedi, before he could become perfect in that system, in the Bhagavata Dharmam, he fell down. Narada Maharshi says there, Pade tado yadi yatra kava bhadram abhudamushyakim ko varta apto bhajadam swadharmada. That what is the loss there? He says, why? Because he has taken to that process which Krishna himself has spoken. all the other dharmam, Varnashrama dharmam, was not spoken by Krishna directly. It was spoken by the great sages, Manu, and so many other great personalities. But Bhagavata dharmam, Krishna has not left anyone else. That was come from Krishna's lotus face itself. So therefore, Bhagavata dharmam has a higher position compared to the Varnashrama dharmam. So that's why it was spoken like that. So having said that, Kavi Maharshi told that this Bhagavata dharmam, when one executes properly, kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava prakrute subhavat karoti yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. That was the way Bhagavata dharmam to be executed. So that was mentioned there. Kavi Maharshi told about that. And then later on we see King Nimi asked the question, what are the symptoms of a devotee? What are the symptoms of a devotee? It was at that point Hari Maharshi stepped in. Kavi Maharshi withdrew and Hari Maharshi comes forward and Hari says to him that the symptoms of a devotee, first class devotee, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavamatmana Bhudani Bhagavat Yeshasavai Bhagavadottamaha. So three classes of devotees were discussed there. Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Kanishtadhikari. Three different types of devotees were discussed in that instance. And Hari Maharshi also told that a devotee who has come to the highest platform, what his vision is, how he sees this world. What is that? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. He only sees Krishna in every living entity. Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That person who realizes Krishna's presence in all living entities, he is the best of all the devotees, he said at that point. So, Bhagavad Dharmam we discussed, symptoms of a devotee we discussed, Bhakta Lakshanam. Then after that, question came up, what is Maya? What is Maya? When the question came, what was Maya? That was answered by Andariksham. Andariksha means, as I mentioned before, the word, all these names in the Bhagavatam also has its own significance. If you look at that way, Andariksha means one whose Ichanam is toward inwards, one who looks inwards, Andar Ichanam, one who has developed that quality of looking inwards. So that personality, Andariksha, had already developed that quality of looking inwards. So Andariksha answered, what is Maya, which we have seen there, Parasya Vishnu Rishasya Mayinam Abhi Mohinim, that everyone gets captivated by this Maya in this world. Everyone gets captivated by this powerful Maya and how Maya acts and the origin of Maya, where how Maya controls everything in this world through the three modes of material nature and her powerful position in that situation. So, we have gone to that point. It was then that, we will see there, Andariksha talks about Maya. Immediately, the king asked the question, how to get over Maya? That was his question. Stuladhiya, he says, people like us who has got Stuladhi. Stuladhi means the gross intelligence, the very gross nature. How people like us who have got a very gross nature can cross over Maya? This question came up. And in answer to that, we have seen the discussion between the king as well as Prabuddha. Prabuddha spoke about that, isn't it? Prabuddha means one who has woken up from sleep, or in other words, one who has woken up from Maya. That's why that word Prabuddha is used there. It is important thing is that these names also has a resemblance of their position in the spiritual life. For example, Prabuddha is one who has woken up from sleep. So Prabuddha answers that question saying there, that karmanyarabhamananam dukkahate sukhayaja pashyel pakavipanyasam idhani jayanam nranam. He says that the Prabhuda says, karmanyar, two things he says he realizes. First thing, before waking up from Maya, he has to have some realizations. That's what he is discussing first. What are they? Karmanyarabhamananam dukkahate sukhayaja. What is that first thing? A one person works very hard in this world to become happy, but the result that is coming from his, that is unhappiness. The result that is coming from that is unhappiness. This understanding has come to this person. The person came to this understanding. Karmanyarabhamananam dukkahate sukhayaja. He has worked all along to get out of the dukham, out of distress, and to become happy. But what happened? Pashiel pagavipanyasam. Exactly opposite thing is happening. Exactly opposite thing is happening all the time. Result, he is not becoming happy. On the other hand, he becomes more and more implicated in the complexities of it. And the result that his distress is increasing day by day rather than decreasing. So instead of becoming happy, he becomes more distressed. This is what Prabuddha is saying. This realization comes to him first. And then this same point you will see in the third canto also, in the very beginning. Vidura brought up this message to question to Maitreya Maharshi at that point. What did he say? Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. Vidura did not ask Maitreya Maharshi why people do not worship Krishna. That was not the question Vidura asked. When Uddhava sent Vidura to Maitreya in Haridwar, when Vidura met Maitreya Maharshi there, Krishna has already instructed Maitreya Maharshi to tell that Vidura will be coming to you later. You should clarify everything what he wants to know. While Uddhava was being instructed, Krishna's mind was also very much attached to Vidura. But Vidura, in the name of pilgrimage, had gone away traveling to all other places, and he missed that opportunity to hear from Krishna. But Krishna has not forgotten Vidura. At that point, Maitreya Maharshi came to see Krishna, and Krishna spoke to Maitreya Maharshi that I had a disciple like Uddhava, someone who was very close to me. That was Vidura. He is wandering around somewhere. He will, after I have left this world, he will come back to see you. When he comes to you, whatever questions he has, you should clear that for him. And this instruction was with Maitreya before. So that's why when Vidura came to see Maitreya, Vidura was asking, this first question he asked was, Sukhaya karmani karyodhi loke. The whole world is working to become happy. But what's happening? The opposite thing is happening to them. Why? This is the same question. So in other words, when one comes to spiritual life, or in other words, one who is inquiring after the truth, we'll put it that way, rather than calling as a devotee, is satyanveshanam it is. What is spiritual life? Spiritual life means inquiring after truth, isn't it? Having realized that we are after falsities in this world, having experienced the falsity of the material life, one who is inquiring after the truth, he is called Satyanyashnam, inquirer, proper inquirer. He is inquiring. He is inquiring the truth. So, such a person, Vidura says, and here Prabuddha also, Maitreya Maharshi says there, as well as Prabuddha also here, the first thing he should come to know is, Karmanyarabhamananam dukkahatyei sukhayajam pashel pagavivanyasam midhunicharinam nirnam. That this tendency to live in this material life and to continue trying to extract happiness out of that has to go. That is the first realization for such a person. That working hard and acquiring wealth will not be the answer to that problem. This is what he is pointing out here. So, this thing called Shraddha, as we discussed before in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna also says the same thing. Shraddha is the first step in the spiritual life. The first thing begins with Shraddha. So, this Shraddha, Krishna has spoken about Shraddha in various places in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? In several places, Krishna has talked about Shraddha. And Krishna says there, Shraddhavan Libhage Jnanam. Spiritual realization will only come to that person who has got Shraddha. Otherwise it won't happen to him. He can carry on studying whole lifetime. He can keep on hearing. He can keep on chanting. But as long as this Shraddha has not come to him, Krishna says, the knowledge will not develop in that person. It will become very much on a surface. It will move around. And the result will be that after several years of practice of spiritual life, he will still find that the modes of nature is very much disturbing him. Modes of nature is disturbing him. Why? Because that jnanam, what Krishna intended to have, the devotee to have, has not happened. That's why Krishna is saying that, shraddhavan labhade jnanam. Only one who has shraddha for him, he will have that knowledge also, will come to him very easily. And for the shraddha to develop, the first thing is, the step towards that is vairagyam. Vairagyam from material life. This is the qualification for that. You will notice that all the great personalities who have gone and in higher in their spiritual life, they all had this very basic qualification of vairagyam with them. Vairagyam has driven them to become more focused. In other words, that shraddha developed strongly in them due to their vairagyam. So that vairagyam can only come when one becomes very observant of life in this world, material life. From material life comes vairagyam. Some people get it earlier, some people get it little later. But one who has developed the habit of analyzing life and looking into life deeply will see the truth at the end, that no matter how much you try to adjust things in this world, it is not going to finally be very satisfying. Finally very satisfying. So therefore, it is said that vairagyam is necessary for a person. Bhagavadam is centered around these three things, bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam. As you know, in the Bhagavadam, so many instances, these three things are spoken about. So vairagyam's role is like this. It develops shraddha in a person, which qualifies him to become the proper knowledge comes to him, and the result of that is that pure devotion develops in that person. So, having said that, we were discussing about that and we were talked about the various things what Prabuddha has mentioned at that point. Prabuddha talked about evam lokam param vidyal nashwaram karma nirmidam satulya adishayadvamsam yadha mandalavartinam. He will see that evam lokam param vidyal nashwaram karma nirmidam. That was very important word. It is nashwaram. It is temporary. It has no permanent existence. This realization is not coming to us, because we are always seeing the world as real and always exists as though it is the permanent abode for all of us to survive here. But having come to understand the temporary nature, because it is nashwaram, karma nirmidam, and it is also based on karma. Karma means that brings us to different situations in this world. The happiness and distress what we experience is also is a result of karma from previous lifetimes or even in this lifetime. So it has its own impact on us. And Krishna is here, Prabuddha says here, satulya adishayadhamsam yadha mandalavartinam. So because of that, then even the relationships in this world is affected by this, whichever way we act. And that activities what we perform is also coming from our past tendencies. And then he talks about tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jijnasu shrayam uttamam shabde parayanushnadam brahmanyupashamashrayam. We spoke about that also earlier. Then he said, tatra bhagavadan dharman shikshet guruvalmadevada amayaya anuvrtya tushet almalmado hari. So there he said that amayaya, this bhagavad dharmam one should execute shikshet guruvalmadevada, seeing the role of the spiritual master, the role of the self and Krishna's role. All these things should be understood while executing Bhagavata Dharma. He mentions that at that point. That tatra dharman shikshet guru atma devada. Guru, atma, Krishna. All three things, they are a part of the same endeavor, effort, what we are executing in that. Amayaya anuvrtya. And that should be executed amayaya, without any maya in that. That means without any kapatyam. Kapatyam means that Shastram says like this, without any duplicity. If it is executed without any duplicity, Krishna says, Tushyed almalmado hari. Krishna is pleased with that. That is the point when the knowledge comes from Krishna. That is the point when it comes to a devotee. He experiences that the bliss of spiritual knowledge that comes to him. Later on, he said, sarvado manaso asangamado sangam ja sadusho. So step by step, Prabuddha is telling to King Nimi that sarvado manaso asangamado sangam ja sadusho. Sarvado manaso asangamado sangam ja sadusho. What one should do with the mind and how one should associate with sadhu. Two things were spoken there. Now, mind, we have seen before, is something where which can take us wherever it wants to, isn't it? The complex nature of the mind, we talked about that before. So the mind has this quality that it can drop into such difficulties that you do not even know where which way things are going. If you remember, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna has spoken about this. Krishna says there that the in the second chapter, if you look into the verse number, I think it was 55, he says there that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almani evalmanatushta sthita prajna tadochyade. The Blessed Lord said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So, very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter itself, Krishna spoke about the role of the mind. So, the same thing is here. Prabhupada is saying, sarvado manaso asangamado, that if you allow the mind to associate with anything, it will cause problems for you. Asangam. So, first to get to know that how to disconnect the mind from associating with material life, with material objects. That is why one becomes, when one becomes serious. You see, to understand this association, we have to look into Bhagavatam. That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi has given us this Srimad Bhagavatam. How to understand this thing called association. In the Bhagavatam, so many devotees' life is discussed there. Narada Maharshi's association with the sages, how that developed into his advancement in spiritual life. Later on, Narada Maharshi had so many disciples in the Bhagavatam. There you will also notice Narada Maharshi's association with Dhruva Maharaj. How that developed Dhruva Maharaj's elevation in Krishna consciousness. Narada Maharshi's association with Prahlada while he was in the womb of Kayadhu, how that developed Prahlada's Krishna consciousness. You will see like this so many different instances association discussed. In other words, sadhu sangam, or you can call it also satsangam. Satsangam. Now, so often we will think about satsangam that if we just go and sit in a class and listen, that is satsangam. That is satsangam. Many of us have that understanding. But strictly speaking, if you want to understand about satsangam, you have to come to Ekadasha Skandam. In Ekadasha Skandam later, Krishna will talk about association. About association. What does association mean? Sadhu Sangha means. And he will also say there, he says there, all these personalities have become great devotees purely by association, he says. Purely by association, they became great devotees. And if you look at them, all the list of personalities mentioned there, you will see there are birds, there are animals, and there were rakshasas, demoniac persons, and there were great, there was a butcher, Dharmavyatha mentioned there. And a variety of people from all species are mentioned in that. And one wonders, how come they all become pure devotees by association? They didn't go and sit and listen to Bhagavatam everywhere, but they all became pure devotees, Krishna says, simply by association. So, in order to understand that, when Uddhava raised this question to Krishna, that you are always talking about association. In fact, whole of Ekadasha Skandam is nothing but developing the proper association with the great personalities of the soul, great souls. Krishna says there is nothing more powerful than that in this world. He says there that to Uddhava, he even says like this, that you are more dear to me because naham like you, nobody is more dear to me, he says. Who is more dear to me than you? Naham Sangarsha, Lord Balaram is not dear to me. Lakshmi Devi is not dear to me. And Rukmini Devi is not dear to me. No one is dear to me as much as you are, he says to Uddhava at that point. So Uddhava was wondering, Uddhava was also thinking, Krishna is talking about this association, and he further wanted to know from Krishna about this association. What this association means. Now, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that Dhruva Maharaj associated with Sri Narada Maharshi, isn't it? Dhruva Maharaj associated with Sri Narada Maharshi. Dhruva Maharaj got that great opportunity to see Krishna. Krishna, if you look at that Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's glorification of Krishna, you will see there. Yonda pravishya mama macha vimam rasuptam sanjandayatta gila shakti dharat sudhamna. It is a verse that has come from a 5-year-old boy, incorporating all the highest principles of Vedanta philosophy. Anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin prana namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. He says there that what Ekadasha Skandam Krishna is going to discuss with Uddhava is condensed in this small verse of Dhruva Maharaj. When Krishna touched the cheek of Dhruva Maharaj with his conch shell, immediately the Vaikari woke up inside. The Vaikari power woke up inside. And that made Dhruva Maharaj to speak like that. So, Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj spoke the highest realization to Krishna in his glorifications. This verse begins with that. And the subsequent verses also, if you study Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's glorification of Krishna, you will find it. It is such a famous glorification of Dhruva Maharaj. That glorification, he says there, Anyamscha hasta jarana shravanam tugadin prananamo bhagavade purushaya rubhyam. He says, I pay my obeisances to you who sitting inside me operates this whole body. That is how he puts it. Sitting inside me, you are operating this whole thing. What? Hasta charana shravana tvagadin. The hands, the legs, and hastam charanam and shravanam, the hearing. Everything is happening. Why? Because you are inside me. Otherwise it won't happen. This is how he logicizes. In other words, this is the very principle of understanding Krishna. In the Bhagavatam also. Having spoken all these things, this Dhruva Maharaj, who got recognition from Krishna, why did Dhruva Maharaj ask for a material opulences at that point? How can someone who has come to that level of associating with Krishna, having even got the recognition from Krishna, that he went and asked Krishna that I want to have a kingdom, and my authority or to rule over the planet, although he was not, that desire did not leave him. The desire did not leave him. It was at that point Krishna sends him back with this benediction to rule the planet for 36,000 years, which all you know in the past story after Dhruva Maharaj's glorifications, which comes later. Now, this Dhruva Maharaj, after he gone back and took to control of the planet, and while he was administering the planet, his cousin, his stepbrother, Uttama, got killed in the forest, which, as you know the story, and he decided to take revenge on all the yakshas who killed him. One yaksha has killed him, but what happened? He decided to kill all the yakshas. And he decided to go and kill all of them, went to the forest and started killing them without any mercy. Without any mercy, he started killing them. So, how could a devotee who has seen Krishna and who glorified Krishna with very eloquent words, and especially in covering the highest philosophical understanding, and who received all this mercy from Krishna, could do such a thing? How could he do that? This question will always come to someone who is reading Srimad Bhagavatam carefully. How could he do that? Because he has seen the highest truth, Krishna. He had even got the mercy from him. He had the association with Krishna. And he comes back and he does a thing like this. Is this question not valid? This question has been discussed at length by many, many Bhagavadam scholars and commentators. Why it is such an important question? This question is important in relevance to the association, Sadhu Sangam. On the other hand, if you take the story of Prahlada, Prahlada Maharaj, while he has not seen Krishna yet, he is in the womb of his mother Kayadhu. And Narada Maharshi is speaking to the mother Kayadhu. And the whole effect of Narada Maharshi's instructions goes on to Prahlada. And Prahlada comes out from there. And Prahlada says at that point, in the Prahlada Stuti, you will notice, in Prahlada Stuti, in Prahlada's glorifications, he says like this. He puts it in a different way. Brahma got disturbed while seeing Narasimha Murthy, the form of Narasimha Murthy. Who else got disturbed? Lakshmi Devi got disturbed. Prahlada says there, I am not disturbed. Why did Prahlada say that? Reason is this. Prahlada says, I am seeing the person who has dressed like this Narasimha. I know the person who has dressed like Narasimha. Just like one old person gone to see the drama Ramayanam. He was sitting there and watching Ramayanam, and there Ravana came on the stage and he was declaring about his own glories. He was glorifying about himself, all what he has done in this world and how fearless he is, this, that and the other. So this old man was listening to that for quite a while seriously, what this person who was dressed up like Ravana was speaking. At one point he got so angry and he said to the man who was sitting next to him, I had enough of him, he said. And he just took one big stone and wanted to throw at him straight away. He couldn't tolerate him anymore. At that point the person next to him said to him, look, do you know who that is actually? That's your son who is acting like Ravana, he says. As soon as he said that, his whole mood changed. His whole mood completely changed at that point. And then it's alright, he says. He's doing it very well, he said. Just see how the mind is. This is the nature of the mind. So once you know who has dressed up, in what form, then the emotions that is created within you by that dress does not disturb you anymore. Isn't it? Brahma, Lakshmi Devi and others who were present there, they were in fear. Particularly, all of them were so frightened seeing that form. They could not understand who this is. But Prahlada knew who had come. Prahlada knew who has dressed up like this. So once you know the Veshadhari who has dressed up, then Vesham or the dress will not create any emotions in you. It will not create any emotions in you. So long as you don't know that, it will create problems. It will always have an impact on you. It will affect you straight away. That you may not be able to tolerate him. Just like when Mahabharata drama was performed, Bhimasena kills Dushasana and takes his intestines out and puts it on his and speaking very strongly for what he has done to Draupadi. All that Bhimasena is repeating, and he is taking out the intestines from Dushasana and puts it on his neck to show his anger. When someone sees all that, he gets very affected by that. When the drama is over, that person has changed his clothes and he's walking freely outside. So somebody says to you, he was that Bhimas. Oh no, he cannot be Bhimas. The way he was acting there at that time has given really frightened me, he said. But now he's walking there like anybody else. So the dress can cause this problem with anyone. So exactly like that, here, Prahlada was least perturbed. When Brahmaji asked Prahlada, you go and pacify him, Prahlada had no problem. Why? because already he knew who is inside that dress, in this form of Narasimhamurti who had come. That was known to Prahlada. So, why I was saying all these things was, Sadhu Sangam will be there, but whether Sadhu Sangam has completely worked on a person or not, can only be understood when these situations happens like this. Even you may have come to see Krishna, but whether Krishna wanted that, you have to have that spiritual realization or advancement to that degree that you will not fall from there again. That is in Krishna's hands. No, it's not in our hands. That is in Krishna's hands. Because sometimes people think that after we have realized Krishna, I've seen Krishna, that even that is not a guarantee that Krishna wants you to have that final realization of not to fall from your own spiritual identity. And that is the perfectional stage when one has released oneself from the identity of the body and able to transcend over to the spiritual platform where one does not fall down from there. This is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na garhet. Krishna says to Uddhava at the very end of Canto 11, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindayet. He says, one should not condemn or glorify somebody else's actions. So Ashu Brashade, he will immediately fall down. While, what is the reason behind him? So Ashu Brashade Swarthal Asatyam Abhiniveshada. Because he is holding on to asatyam. Asatyam means what is not truth. It is that asat we are talking about now. When our attachment to asat increases, our attachment to sat decreases. Our attachment to sat decreases. We have to always remember all the asat that we are experiencing in this world. Asat means what? All the material activities, all the interactions of the modes of nature, all the material, everything related to material existence is all asat. It is all asat. Where does this asat come? Asat come in the background of sat. Sat is the background and asat is happening in front of that. Just like we gave this example before. In the screen, in the cinema screen, lot of things are happening, isn't it? But the screen is not affected. Screen is not affected at all. Nothing is affecting the screen. But on the screen, what's happening is affecting us. Is it not? Some people go and sit in front of the movie, in the film theater, and they are watching. They are sometimes crying when the actress or actor is in trouble, they are crying. When they are doing well, they feel happy. All this is why? Because asatya abhiniveshana, that they have associated with the asat, so they have to accept this miserable state. But advanced person, spiritually advanced person, he will see the screen, not the thing what is going in front of the screen. Because that is going on, according to the mind, it keeps changing. According to the role of film going on, similarly our karma vasanas, what that has created, will cause that change to happen in front of our own eyes. So that is why it is said like that. So, coming back to this satsangam, that in satsangam is perfect when one wakes up to one's own pure identity as spirit soul. So, when that knowledge is developing in a person, that his relationship with the material body going away and identification with the soul is getting stronger, at that point your satsangam is becoming perfect. Satsangam is perfect. So long as that association with the body, that is the test for that. The test for to know that the satsangam is developing, is bringing benefit to me, is only when this test is passed through. That means identification with the body is going away and identification with the soul is increasing. Identification with the soul is increasing. So that is why in these two instances of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlada, one, Prahlada's position is a higher position compared to Dhruva. Because of this, even not seeing Krishna, he captured the message. He got the message from Narada Maharshi. Dhruva Maharaj, although seeing Krishna, still hasn't got the message. went and fell down again. Just see that the both more or less the same age also. Prahlad was probably 6 or 7 and Dhruva was 5 or 6 years old. Age-wise, there was not big difference. Same spiritual master, same instructions to Dhruva Maharaj and to Prahlada, but two different results. To Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Maharshi wanted, this is how much spiritual knowledge should develop in you. That was Narada Maharshi's decision. And to Prahlada, he decided that this much knowledge you should have. So depending on that, there the results also you can see later on. So Sadhu Sangha means, when the spiritual knowledge is illuminating a person to dissociate his identity with the body and to advance in his spiritual identity, it is at that point you can say that Sadhu Sangham is benefiting him. All other things, in the names of Sadhu Sangham, so many things goes on in this world. It may not develop in the form of Sadhu Sangham. It happens in many other forms. It may not have the desired result at that point. That is the most important thing to remember here. So, Prabuddha says this to him, that you can see in this verse, that Sarvado manaso asangam ado sangam ja sadhushu, and daya maitri prashrayam cha bhudeshadhva yadojidam. So here he spoke about daya maitri prashrayam cha bhudeshadhva yadojidam. Properly you should develop these qualities, he says there. Now, something more to remember here, that in these discussions between the Navayogis and King Nimi, in relationship with bhakti, you will notice a very important point. What is that? Important point is this, that bhakti, what is talked about here, is not the bhakti what many of us have actually kept in our mind or in our perspective. For example, when Prabuddha has talked about bhakti here, you will notice that he has not given any importance to the external appearance of a person. External appearance of a person. He gives a lot of importance to that person's consciousness on the other hand. It is the same thing in Bhagavad Gita also, if you see. Adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja. This is how Krishna talks about a pure devotee's role. Adveshtam sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja. Nurmamo nirahangara sukhadukha samakshami. Sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma dhradanishchaya. Ma yarpida manobadhar yomal bhakta samepriya. Such a devotee is dear to me. Krishna keeps repeating, and what kind of devotee he is. And if you analyze all that, you will notice there, Krishna has not spoken one word about the dress of the person or the external appearance of that person. Everything related to the consciousness of that person. And he mentions there also, Sandushta Sadadam Yogi, a real devotee, he says he is always happy. He is not miserable. He is always happy. And his nature, that is like this. Why? Because he is talking about the first class devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, what he is talking, presenting to us in the 12th chapter, is the first class devotee. You have to remember that also. He is not talking about the Madhyama Adhikari or Kanishtha Adhikari. He is talking about the Uttama Adhikari's role. So there, he says there, Sandushta Sadadam Yogi, he is always Sandushtam, he is always in a happy mood. Yadalma Dhradanishaya, and he is also very firmly determined to stay in that position. Nothing will disturb him to fall from there. So, when you read Bhagavatam in the same Ekadasya Skandam, you will find some different kind of presentation of a devotee there, isn't it? They classified into 3 categories. Uttamam, Madhyamam and Kanishtam. 3 categories it was present in the Bhagavatam. Whereas in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talked about devotee, and these are the qualities Krishna says which is only referring to the pure devotees or the Uttama Adhikaris. Because in Bhagavad Gita, there is no relevance to Kanishta and Madhyamam. Kanishta and Madhyamam has no relevance there. Because while talking about Bhakti Yogam, Krishna doesn't want Arjuna to stay as a Kanishta or a Madhyama, rather come to the pure platform of pure devotee state. But whereas in the Bhagavatam, because Bhakti Yogam is discussed in depth, Therefore, these three categories were discussed. And therefore, you will also notice there, the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, there will be differences because of the differences in the qualification. A devotee who is pure, like Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita, his vision is different, his relationships are different. But when it comes to Bhagavatam, what does he say? A Madhyama Adhikari says, Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha, Ye Karoti sa Madhyama, he says. Madhyama platform, he will have to have these distinctions in him. He has to develop that distinction. There is no choice there. Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Four things. What's that? Premam, friendship to the, friendship to Krishna. And Maitri to pure devotees. Kindness to ignorant people. And Upeksha to the envious. The indifference to the envious people. That's necessary. And you may wonder why it's instructed like that. Because you have not come to the pure devotees level yet. Till we get to the pure devotee level, for the devotee's safeguard, Krishna is saying this in this way. That Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha must be there for in the Madhyama Adhikari's mood. Otherwise, he cannot move from there to higher level. If he does not have, just like the example is given, a Kanishtha Adhikari starts his Krishna consciousness. He needs protection from all sides. Best example used to given is like this, that you know this some plants, their leaves are very tasty for the goat. Goat loves them. The leaves of certain plants, they are very fond of that. If you plant that tree, and if you leave it, the goat will come, eat the leaf, and finish up the tree in a day. Nothing will happen. So what you do then, you construct a strong fence around it. You can see when you go to the parks and places like that, often you will find a strong fence around a plant. Up to a certain time, that fence will be there. Once the plant has become strong and it has become to the size of a big tree, then it doesn't require any protection. It doesn't require any protection. At that time, it is strong enough. It can stand on its own. It can stand on its own. But in the beginning, it requires that protection. It cannot carry on without that. Same thing in the days of a Kanishtha Adhikari also. A devotee who has come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, he requires shelter. He requires shelter. Otherwise, one word from a non-devotee is enough to completely pull him out from Krishna consciousness. One word is enough. So it isn't, but afterwards, when he has practiced Krishna consciousness for a long period of time, and he has studied Srimad Bhagavatam and reflected on the instructions of the great devotees, and in his own mind he has grown big, at that point, he doesn't require any more that protection. You can even go and tie an elephant to that tree. The tree won't be shaken by that. He has become strong enough. So similarly, here also in the Bhagavatam, even in the Madhyama stage, you need certain regulations in life. You have not come to the higher platform of the Uttama Adhikari. Until the point when you get to Uttama Adhikari stage, these four, Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha, all these things must be there in that person. Because if it is not there, what will happen is, he can fall back into the Kanishtha Adhikari's level again. So, Ragam and Dvesham, attachment and aversion, is always there in the modes of nature. It is a part of that, and it will be with us till we free ourselves from the three modes of nature. So, coming back to this, here, we were discussing this last time also, that what is all required for that. Shaujam dabhatta diksham cha maunam swadhyayam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsam cha samatvam dvanda samyayoham sarvayatralmeshanyuiksham kaivalyam manigetadam vivitta jiravasanam santosham yena kenajal shraddham bhagavadam shastre anindamanyatra cha abhihi manova karmadandam cha satyam shamadamavabhi shravanam vetanam dhyanam hareral budakarmana janma karma gunanam cha tadarthe akhila jayushtidam ishtandattam dabojaptam vrattam yachalpana priyam daran sugan ഗൃഹാൻ പ്രാണാൻ യൽ പരസ്മൈ നിവേദനം ഏവം കൃഷ്ണാത്മനാഥേഷു മനുഷ്യേഷു ച സൗഹൃദം പരിചര്യാം ചോഭയത്ര മഹൽസു നൃഷു സാധുഷു പരസ്പരാനുകഥനം പാവനം ഭഗവദ്യശ മിഥോരതിർമിതസ്തുഷ്ടിർനിവൃത്തിർമിതമാത്മന സ്മരന്ന സ്മാരയന്തശ്ച മിഥോ അഘോഗഹരം ഹരിം ഭക്ത്യാ സഞ്ജാതയാ ഭക്ത്യാ ബിഭ്രന്ത് ഉൽപ്ലകാന്തനം ക്വചിദ്ദുദന്ദ്യച്യുതചിന്തയാ ക്വചിൽ ഹസന്തി നന്ദന്തി വദന്ത്യലൗകിക നൃത്യന്തി ഗായന്തി അനുശീലയന്ത്യജം ഭവന്തി തുഷ്ണീം പരമേത്യ നിർവൃതാഃ ഇതി ഭാഗവതാൻ ധർമാൻ ശിഷ്യാൻ ഭക്ത്യാ തദുത്ഥയ നാരായണവരോ മായ അഞ്ജസ്തരതി ദുസ്തരാം. സോ ഇൻ ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് പ്രബുദ്ധ മഹർഷി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് what how one crosses maya, one crosses, this is what we were discussing last last time. So we have seen there the importance of all these things: shapam shapam shaujam tapas diksha maunam swadhyayam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsa samatvam dvandasamyoho, all these we discussed before. So then we stopped at that point, we will continue from there. സർവത്ര ആത്മേശ്വരന്വേക്ഷാം കൈവല്യം അനികേതതാം വിവിധചീരവസനം സന്തോഷം യേന കേനചിൽ. ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ, പ്രബുദ്ധ സേസ് ഹിയർ, സർവത്ര ആത്മേശ്വരന്വേക്ഷാം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് തിങ്. സർവത്ര ആത്മേശ്വര അന്വേക്ഷാം, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ആത്മേശ്വര അന്വേക്ഷാം? എൻക്വയറിംഗ് ഹൂ എം ഐ, ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ടു ഡു. ഹൂ എം ഐ? This question has not come to our mind seriously enough. That is why Prabuddha is making to wake up from that understanding to this understanding, continuously searching, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? This question. Sarvatra Almeshwara Anviksham. Then he says, Kaivalyam Anigetadam. That as soon as one wakes up in the morning, one's identity begins at that time, isn't it? In the deep sleep, he did not experience that. But when he wakes up in the morning, when the aham vritti begins also at that point, isn't it? Aham vritti means that identity of oneself as aham, I am. That identity also comes to us at that point only. It only comes to us at that point. So when it comes to that point, when one start probing further into it, where did this thought come? Where did it come from? Where did this thought come from? That who I am, I am. Where did this come from? Sarvatra almeshwaranyuksham. That this is the inquiry process. That inquiring about one's own identity. Who am I? Who am I? Now, this who am I, this question in the Vedic literature is answered in many, many different ways. From the Upanishads you will see in one way, in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam spoken another way, and Bhagavad Gita in a different way. But eventually they all point out to the same thing, that is the identity of the soul, that spiritual identity. That's why it said, Sarvatra Almeshwaranyuksham, that inquiry or inquiring about the truth. If you are inquiring about the self, it is called inquiring after the truth. That is the beauty of that. Because that is the only truth in this world. This is why it is spoken like that. Inquiring after the self means you are inquiring after the truth. Everything else what you are inquiring in this world is asat, is not truth. So that is why the importance given to it so much. So after inquiring like this, he will understand one thing. What is that understanding? He has searched everywhere. And the Vedic way of search is like this, to negate one after the other, one thing after the other. That negation begins like this: I am not the senses, I am not the mind, I am not intelligence, I am not this body, I am not this, not this, not this. After eliminating everything, what exists, that's me. That's how it's spoken like that. You will see in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is spoken in that way. In different places in the Bhagavatam also, you will see a similar reference to that. So, sarvatra almeshwara anviksham kaivalyam aniketadam. When one fixes his mind on this thought, that if I am not all these things, then what am I? That question comes, isn't it? If I am not this mind, if I am not this body, if I am not these senses, if I am not this intelligence, then what am I? Then he comes to understand that I am what they call in the Shastram as Brahmasmi, that consciousness, that I am a part and parcel of Krishna. He comes to that understanding at that point. Krishna referred to in the Bhagavatam in different places as Brahman. In the absolute for devotees, we speak as Krishna's part and parcel. But otherwise, he is part and parcel of Krishna. When that realization comes, which means he is pure spirit, isn't it? Part and parcel of Krishna means pure spirit, because Krishna is spiritual. So, when one has eliminated all the material identities with the matter, body, five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, everything, including false ego, I am not that. I am not even that. Then what am I? And that is what I am. That is that supreme consciousness, Krishna's consciousness, which is manifesting in every living entity in the form of consciousness. And therefore it is called Chaitanyam. That living force existing in all living entities, which we can experience through our interaction with other living entities, in all forms of living entities, that Chaitanyam, that is me. That's us. That's what we are. So, to come to that realization, it is not easy. Therefore, constantly one has to analyze through Srimad Bhagavatam how to get to this understanding. Let us look at it a little bit more. In the Bhagavatam, in different places, all these things are spoken. But they are spoken in such a way and left to those who are reading to think through it deeply and understand it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 7, Sridharada Maharshi will reveal this secret, how to identify the soul. How to identify the soul. He puts it in a very, very, in a very condensed way there, in the 7th canto. While discussing it, is the Varnashrama Dharmam there. He talks about this. There he says, look at like this, he said. Everything in the body, including the intelligence, the mind, the senses, they all function because we have seen before, because of the presence of the soul inside, which is part and parcel of Krishna. Because of the presence of the soul, all these things gets the ability to function. They on their own cannot understand the soul. None of them. Neither the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the senses, nor the false ego cannot understand the soul. Whereas, all of them are able to function purely because the soul is behind in the scene, isn't it? In the background. The soul is giving them the ability to function. Otherwise, they cannot function on their own. On their own, they have no capacity to function. You can see that. A person who is dead, if you go and sing a beautiful, nice pop music to him through his ears, will he wake up? No. He has got same sense what he had before, but senses cannot work on its own. Similarly, if you go and pour some first-class sweet rice after opening his mouth, will he relish it? He won't. Will he? No, he won't. Why? Because the ability to taste food for the sense has come from the soul. So all the senses, the mind, intelligence and everything in the body is purely functioning because of presence of that living force inside. Isn't it? The living force inside. Let's look at it this way. Suppose you are sitting at home and somebody came to you at home and you had an unpleasant conversation with him. For whatever reason it may be. Let it be anything. Doesn't matter. And you got so excited or agitated about the whole thing and he left, leaving you in a very disturbed mood. Immediately the grandchild came there. A grandchild came there. He has forgotten everything, picked up the grandchild, and the man feels extreme bliss at this moment. Few minutes ago, while the visitor came and spoke so many things, and his mind was in a turmoil, very disturbed, and in so much confused about everything, was in a revengeful mood, or lots of emotions were going through the mind. In 1 second, the whole thing switched on to another mood. What's this mood now? Full of love and affection and happiness in life. Just by seeing that grandchild. In the Bhagavadam, Sri Narada Maharshi says there that this switching from this mood to this next mood is done by the soul inside. The soul does that. The soul does this job. That is what you should note, Narada Maharshi says there. That mind is nothing but chittavritti, isn't it? Mind, the one nature of the mind is chittavritti. Chittavritti means a continuous flow of thoughts. We don't even know what goes on inside the mind, isn't it? While walking also sometimes, or driving also, the mind is absorbed in its own world, isn't it? Such a powerful mind, which is experiencing continuous thoughts, and we are wondering, why is these thoughts changing inside, isn't it? And depending on the thoughts in the mind, our happiness and distress is also changing, depending on the thoughts that's coming from. And Narada Maharshi says there, if we want to understand this, he says, you look at this switching on from one mode to another mode. If you notice that, you will see that the soul is right behind that doing this job. This is one instance. Secondly, if you want to find out where the soul has an influence on us. These are all subtle hints given at Bhagavatam in different places to make us understand. Think about the soul, not about the body. Body we have analyzed enough. Millions are analyzing still. The research is going on this body enough. But research on the soul is not done so much. Why? Because it is subtle. Because it is subtle. When we switch from one mode to another, as we saw in the Bhagavatam, it will come in the next verse also, the three states of existence of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Isn't it? From Jagrat to Swapnam, Swapnam to Sushupti, who does the switching? Who does the switching? The soul does the switching. We don't even know when we will fall asleep, do we? We have no control on that. After we have fallen asleep, when we wake up, oh, I'm woken up now. So who woke me up? I don't know. Who put me to sleep? I don't know. Who made me to dream? I don't know. Who finished the dream? I don't know. So many I don't knows. But still I am thinking I know everything, what goes on within me. Isn't it? This is the important point. That in the Pipalayana Maharshi, the next sage will answer that question. Between Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, he is coming to change this from one to another. From Jagrat to Swapnam, Swapnam to Sushupti, and brings us back in the morning back to Jagrat. That is his job. Krishna is doing that from inside. The part and parcel. So, coming back to that here, Krishna says here that this secret, if you want to know, it is in the 7th canto, 13th chapter, 5th verse. You can look at it when you go home, if you haven't got the 7th canto. 7th canto, 13th chapter. And it is not very explicitly mentioned there. It is not mentioned very explicitly there. In a very, very subtle way, Narada Maharshi has spoken there, but this understanding has been taken out by the Acharyas from that verse, from Narada Maharshi's instructions there. So, at that point, our true form manifests there. Between the different thoughts, and when from one thing to another, when our thought is changing, it is the soul who does it. Between Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, that switching from one mode to another, the soul does it. To such an extent, soul is doing things in us and we deny its existence still. Imagine how deep is our ignorance. How deep rooted that thing is. And we are still questioning, is there such a thing called the soul? Even after playing these things with us throughout the day and night, and still we are not able to recognize that. That's why it says there, sarvetra almeshra anvinksham, that sarvatra alma ishvara anvinksham. What it means is, that when one see Alma, the soul, and its connection with Ishvara, Krishna, one is constantly able to see that then he is spiritually situated. He is spiritually situated. So long as one is not seeing that, he is a material consciousness. So, good satsangam means this wake-up comes, that I am not this, the false thing I have been sticking with all along in my life, and constantly in that consciousness living in this world. When that goes away from the mind, sarvatra almeshra anvikshaam, Prabuddha says there, this will be the consciousness of that person. He will not fall from there, because he says here, kaivalyam anigetatam, kaivalyam anigetatam, that he will be satisfied. He does not require somebody else to give him happiness. Normally, our nature is to, we want somebody else with us always, isn't it? To talk, friendship, friends. If we have no friends, we feel we are lost in this world. And we feel very miserable also, extremely miserable, when we are left alone, isn't it? Then we go looking for some friend somewhere, wherever you can find. Doesn't matter, even if he's like hell, still it is better to have him rather than not having anybody. Even such mood comes sometimes. So, but Prabuddha says here, one who has got this sarvata almeshra anivsham, one who has come to that platform of seeing Atma and Ishvara everywhere, anivsham, and he's seeing that, he would like to be, what he calls as kaivalyam anigetatam. He wants to be alone, he wants to be left alone, because he is experiencing that happiness of the spiritual existence. In other words, that anandam, bliss is coming to him from that situation. And not only that, anigetatam, even he is not affected whether he has a place to live or not. He says to such an extent, he has come out of his bodily identity. See how much the bodily identity puts us into difficulties. As soon as you identify with the body, you require everything, isn't it? You want a nice apartment, you want all the best comforts there, and then the rest of the whole life is nothing but struggling to keep this going. So here, if you understand Prabuddha's words, you'll see there, sarvatra almeshra anivsham, how important it is to come to that consciousness, so that kaivalyam anigetatam. And in order to do that, he says, vivitta chiravasanam sandosham yena kenachil. Vivitta chiravasanam. Chiravasanam means, what he is talking about here is dressing, covering your body with the bark of the tree. With the bark of the tree. He says, in order to get this consciousness, you have to simplify the life to such a degree. Simplify the life to such a degree. It's not exactly, although it is said like that, what it is understood is that one should only dress in a very simple way. Very simple dressing is necessary. One should not extravagantly spend time and energy in dressing and maintaining this body in that way. Vivikta Chiravasanam. It says, some people live to dress, isn't it? Some people live to dress. And some people dress to live. It's like eating also. Some people live to eat. And some people eat to live. Similarly, there are people in this world, they work very hard. 50% of their income goes for dresses, especially young men, young girls. They spend a lot of their money simply on dresses, because they feel that identification with the body is so strong. For them, Prabuddha's instructions are a bit difficult. Vivitta chiravasanam sandosham yena kainachil. Sandosham yena kainachil, he says. Yena kainachil sandosham. What does it mean? It means that whatever happens, still happy in life. Because if one has reached this platform, sarvatra almeshra anivsham, he will not be disturbed by anything. He will not be disturbed by anything. Therefore, he can be happy always. It is not difficult to be unhappy. This is a symptom of bhakti. This is a symptom of bhakti. You see, the symptoms of bhakti, what is discussed here, is not the symptoms of bhakti what we have learned in our life. Our bhakti, only have to spend £2. We can get all the symptoms of the bhakti. Take for example, kanti mala, beads bag, tilak, shaved head, dhoti, kurta. How much does it cost all? You can get all these things together for £2. We are bhakta.
But this bhakti costs a lot more than that, to get this bhakti stage. It's not so simple. So that's why it said here, sandosham yena kainanchil. And this bhakta with all this paraphernalia is never happy. Whereas this bhakta without any paraphernalia is always happy. That is the difference. So, vivikta chiravasanam sandosham yena kainanchil. Sandosham yena kainanchil. Whatever circumstances may be in life, whatever happens in life, he is happy. Why? His consciousness is spiritual. That is the most important thing. He is, in other words, he is Krishna conscious. We call it by different terms, Krishna consciousness or realized consciousness or whatever way you call it. Ultimately, the consciousness is such that it is disconnected with matter. That is what basically it is. So here, the important point what he is making is this, that when one feels distressed, one should not make others also feel distressed. He should go to some room, lock the room from inside and sit there till he feels better from there, rather than making the whole world unhappy. So that is what he says. Sandosham yena kainanchil. Because the symptoms of a devotee is not to be unhappy. He is always happy. In the Bhagavad Gita you see the same thing. Krishna uses exactly the same word. What did he say? Adveshta sarvabhodanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara sukhadukha samakshami. Then he says, sandushta sadadam yogi. He is always happy. Yogi is always happy. Otherwise he is not yogi. What kind of yogi is who is always one morning happy and next morning miserable afternoon? What kind of yogi is that? What yoga is he practicing then? Sandushta sadadam yogi yad alma drida nishchaya. Because he is determined in his mind to become spiritually, identify spiritually with the soul, so therefore he has no misery. The moment identification starts with the body, the misery also starts. So anyway, here we were talking about these things. Though we are seeing there that if one situated in that way, this will not happen. So there are two processes to attain this position. We have discussed that also before. What are they? One through the process of thoughts and the other one through the process of surrender. Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the bhakti process. Atma Vijayaram is the jnana process. The process of knowledge. Overwhelming majority, you could say that the first process of Atma Vijayaram is only for few people. It's only meant for few very, very fortunate people who had that vasana in them in their previous lifetimes, or had the good fortune of that acquiring that vasanas even in this lifetime. Such personalities may get that possibility of doing that. Majority of the people have to get there through Sharanagati, through surrender to Krishna. So when we say, when we pray to Krishna, this is why Sharanagati bhakti is necessary. That through bhakti process, one will come to a stage where these qualities, what were discussed here, will automatically come to him by Krishna's grace. And that is how he gets the same realizations as a jnani. The devotee also acquires the same realizations as a jnani, but instead of studying Shastram and through the process of cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he takes the path of pleasing Krishna. Because he knows, whether you are a jnani or a bhakta, the goal result can only come if it is sanctioned from there. If Krishna sanctions that. Otherwise it's not going to happen. But when Krishna sees the endeavor of a jnani, Krishna rewards that result to him. Jnani also knows that. Then the result he has achieved that. But process may differ. But ultimately, the success is in Krishna's hands. That is why the Sharanagati process is what we discuss. Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Sarvadharman paritejya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashaja. So Sharanagati means this, that we have come and fallen to Krishna and said to him, told Krishna, that up till now I put every endeavor what I could do. I have done all the endeavor what I could. I have put all the endeavor what I can in this direction, but I have failed. I have now realized it's not going to happen unless it is sanctioned by you. Unless it is sanctioned by you. And when a devotee comes to that realization strongly, and his prayers become day by day intense, at some point, Krishna feels the need to award him with the result also. And that is when he gets these realizations what Prabhupada has spoken about. So, as you can see, this identification with the body is normally in us. But it goes away sometime in us. I don't know whether you have noticed that. When does it go away in us? Suppose you have gone to see some great soul, a great personality, like Srila Prabhupada. When you come and sit in front of Prabhupada, these thoughts will go, I am this, I am that. All that will escape from you. Or if you are in front of a deity, front of the deity also, these thoughts won't come up. I am, aham, aham. That thought will automatically go away. The moment you come out from there, again I am back. Where did this aham come at that point? We don't know. And then what aham does? The next thing aham does is, it gets into the mind. And then through the mind it gets into the senses. And through the senses it goes to the world outside. And once it has gone to the world outside, then you don't know where to stop. Because it is such a vast creation where it never comes to an end. So now you see the fun what happens. The thought of me has come up as soon as I woke up in the morning. The moment the thought of I identity came up, it started permeating through the mind. First thing, it creates a mind. And through the mind, it goes to senses, and through the senses to the world outside. And then I start looking for the truth behind everything in the world outside. In the world outside, I am searching for the truth. And that's what the science is doing. The scientists only start work after they wake up, isn't it? They don't start do their work in the sleep, do they? In the sleep, the scientists, me, you, they're all same. There's no difference. But this search starts when the scientists wake up from the sleep. And his search is like this. He wakes up, creates his I identity, then the mind, then the senses, and then the world outside. But instead of going outwardly like this, if you shut there and start coming back the other way, back to the senses, back to the mind, back to the thought of I, and back to the soul, that is Almeshwar Anviksham, what he says here, that word. Instead of going out and probing outside, if you start coming in and probing inside, then that is the proper, that is spiritual inquiry. Atma Anveshanam, it is called. And Shastra says that this probing outside is the wrong thing to do. Because where will you end your probe? Where can this come to an end? In the beginning they were saying we knew some planets here. As soon as they got this big telescope and all other things, they started seeing more planets. They said, oh, let's go and look there also, what is there. And then they realized that it is not only these few planets here, what we are seeing through the telescope, but there is much more beyond than that. So they kept on looking, and at the end they realized that we don't have the powerful telescopes big enough to find what exists after that. Isn't it? This is where they are at the moment. And then they started this research by traveling to longer distances and looking from there further. So then they realized that at the end this universe begins, but then they heard, is there another universe after that? So you keep looking. The important thing here is alokayati iti lokaha. In Sanskrit, the word look in English comes from the words alokyam. The word alokyam has turned into look in English. Many of the English words are actually Sanskrit words modified at some time to some degree. From father comes from pitr comes father. From mother mother comes mother. From sosru comes sister. From brother comes brother. Every English word, if you took, you will look at it, you will see the connection with the Sanskrit some form or the other. So similarly, we'll come that later. This looking outwards process, you can see the problem. It will not get you anywhere. You are not going to get the truth at the end. What is it? What is this I am? Where does this end? And it will never come to a final answer by this process of outside investigation. That is why, from the Shastric, from the Vedic point of view, the science what we call today is called Jadavidya. Jadavidya means something which will waste your time, in other words. It will not bring you anything profitable at the end. You may think that, oh, I am making such progress. One day we will get to know. That one day will never come, unfortunately. It will be like this. Whole life you will spend in this inquiry. And at the end you will say, I'll pass on to the next generation. I'm going now. Because my time is over. Whereas the Atmavidya, Jadavidya is that type. Atmavidya is the other way. Shut everything outside. Close everything. Go back inwards. The same soul which came through false ego, through the mind, through the intelligence, through the senses, through the sense objects, to the external world, if it travels that inwards, gets back to the soul, and that is Atmavidya. So, the inquiry process, we were discussing that. Then, the moment it goes back and it reaches its original point where it all started. It all started from there, isn't it? It all started from the soul. What we have done is, through our karma, what we have done in several lifetimes and this time also, we acquired all this. These are all extra things we have collected. What? The mind, intelligence, senses and all that. The gross body, five material elements, everything. That we have, it's like another extra dress we are adding on to our real identity. But the moment we go back, giving up all these external dresses of mind, intelligence, ego and everything, and comes back to the spiritual identity, at that point we are released from this bondage once for all. Once for all we are released from there. That's why it says here, Sarvatra Atmeshwara Anyuksham. Atmeshwara Anyuksham. It is such an important word in the Bhagavatam that it says here that for it is in this situation, in the past sannyas was taken. One takes sannyasam at this stage. In the traditional system of taking sannyas, there is one thing called Ashtashraddham. Ashtashraddham means that you perform Shraddha ceremony for eight different things. So for a sannyasi, it is called Ashtashraddham. At that time, he performs this when he takes to sannyasashram. So in that Ashtashraddham, eight Shraddhas, whom do you perform Shraddha when somebody is dead, isn't it? Only then you perform Shraddha ceremony. So this Shraddha ceremony, you perform for yourself. A sannyasi performs for himself at the time of taking sannyas. Why does he perform that? Because at that time, the false ego is completely gone from him. In other words, the I thought, ahambhavam, aham, that thought has completely vanished. And therefore, he gives shraddham to that aham at that point. At that point, he performs a shraddha ceremony for that identity of aham. It finishes there. So, from then on, his vision, the sannyasi's vision is Sarvatra Atmeshwara Anyuksham. He has nothing else in this world. Everywhere Krishna is present in so many different living entities, forms. Only dress is there. Inside it is only Krishna sitting in a different... Krishna's part and parcel is there inside everyone. That thought is firmly established in that sannyasi. That is the sannyasi's position at that time. So, here. Sarvatra Atmeshwara Anyuksham Kaivalya Manigayetadam Divitta Jiravasanam Sandosham Yena Kenajil. Now, again, Sandosham Yena Kenajil. How this Sandosham will come? Happiness will come to a person. Let's look at it this way. Once it so happened, there was a shop which was selling mirrors. You know, they were selling mirrors. Different kinds of mirrors, different sizes. So, the shop had they had on display mirrors, different types of mirrors. So, when you enter into that mirror shop, the ceiling is all mirrors, the walls are all mirrors, the flooring is all mirror. Wherever you look, you can see hundreds of your forms all over inside the shop. You can see your own form in hundreds from different angles, in hundreds of sides. So, by chance, a dog got into the shop. He got in the shop and he looked. He sees so many dogs everywhere. Everywhere he's seeing so many dogs. So he says, what is this? I have come to escape from all of them, but here there are so many of them. So he started barking at them. As soon as he barked, they all started barking at him from the mirror inside. They all started barking at him. So he thought like this. He says, what kind of world is this? Everywhere I got only enemies in this world. Whenever I look at, they are barking at me. He barked and barked and barked, and they also barked and barked back. So it continued whole time. At the end, he barked and got tired and collapsed there. After some time, the shop owner came and he saw this fellow lying there, dead. He took it out and threw him away. And then another person came, well dressed, good looking, well dressed, smartly dressed. He came in. He was happy to get in. Why? Wherever he looked, he was seeing his different poses, how I look. You know, what we all do in front of the mirror, hours and hours every day, how beautiful we look ourselves. So he came and he saw, I have such a beautiful place. If I had this arrangement at home every day, I could look at this before I leave to the office or to see my girlfriend or whatever that is. So like this, so you can see here, this is the difference between a jnani and an ajnani. Ajnani means ignorant person. For an ajnani, like this dog, everyone in this world is enemy, his enemy. He has no choice because he is seeing everything like that. His vision is like that. Everything is through ignorance. Because it's ignorance, he is seeing everything in that way. Whereas a jnani, no matter wherever he looks, because he is able to see Krishna's presence in that living entity, he is not disturbed by that. He is jnani. He sees the things in the proper way. So this difference between an ajnani and a jnani comes in this way. That his vision is the main thing, how he sees this world. If he sees the world thinking that this world is full of trouble, full of problems, and then you start thinking that what do I do to escape from this world and how to deal with this world, then there is only problems left. On the other hand, a jnani who has understood Krishna consciousness properly and has practiced Krishna consciousness, his vision will be different. A jnani will try to change the world, try to solve all the problems of this world in different ways, in his own way. He has his own way. Jnanis have their own ways of doing things. And when things are not working out their way, they will utilize all sorts of processes to bring and the change the world. And they'll waste their time like this. A jnani would not do that. A jnani will think, realize that due to ignorance people are acting. So the only thing you can do is to give them the understanding of soul through which he may come out of that ignorance. If he comes out of the ignorance, he may not do it again. If he doesn't come out of the ignorance, no matter what you do, they'll continue to do the same thing. Therefore, it is said in the Bhagavadam that this knowledge of Atma, knowledge of the soul, is so important to be distributed to everybody. That it is only because of the forgetfulness of the soul, only because of the forgetfulness of our true identity that we engage in sinful life. We engage in sinful activities. It is no point in arguing with people when there is no spiritual identification, when the identification is on a material level. That will not get anywhere. You can... So, ka mohaha ka shokaha. For one who is realized, he has no moham, he has no shogam either. He says that. And this will not happen overnight also. This will not happen overnight. This takes its own time, practicing it. We think that it's an easy thing, isn't it? To be situated like that. But we know it's not an easy thing. But Krishna says, by practicing, cultivating this understanding, one can come out of it, and people have done that in the past, many, many instances, though very, very rare. To give an example, sometimes you know these children, when they go to some fair or something, or some festival, they will see a lot of toys being sold there. And there are some toys which look very simple. Some toys which are looking very simple. And they are very cheap also to buy. So they will insist, I want that toy. And they see somebody has taken a particular toy, and with that he plays different sorts of music. And they, especially you see this in India, I don't know, here everything is expensive. Toys are also very expensive. So it becomes very difficult. And it has to be manufactured in a factory and all that. And certain standards, codes, everything. But in big festivals in India, you find there is no codes, no standard. A lot of people make so many things at home and they bring it and sell it in the festival and they go away. So sometimes, some of these toys are very, very simple. So you can see sometimes there's one toy where there is one coconut shell to which there is a string attached to it. It costs so little, so it is affordable to many, many people. And the man who is selling it, what he does is, he takes this, and the string, he plays with it in such a nice way. Some very fantastic Bollywood tunes, he starts playing with that. The children, when they hear that, they get very attracted to it, and they start crying for it. He knows that they'll ask for it, definitely. And he gives it to them and gets a few rupees, whatever that is. The child takes it home. He tries playing this. Nothing comes out. He gets so frustrated, throws it at the end, totally disgusted with the whole thing. What does it mean? It means that for him, because of his practice, he was able to do it in such a way. But the children were thinking, oh, it's so nice that I could play all these tunes so nicely on such a cheap thing, where he couldn't do anything with it. The same thing with the soul also. Sarvatralmesharanyviksham. Unless one cultivates like the sages have done, step by step by step, this vision of Prabuddha, what he has spoken here, it is not going to happen. And in order that to happen, the first requirement is Krishna consciousness. It is from Krishna consciousness all these things come. Not from anywhere else. It cannot come from anywhere else. When the devotee becomes surrenders to Krishna, taking his complete shelter and feeling from that Sharanagati, he experiences that happiness. Krishna rewards him with that result. Sarvatralpesharanyviksham kaivalyamanige etadam vivitta chiravasanam sandosham enakejasil. Then he says, Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre Anindamanyatra Chavihi Manovakarmadandam Jasatyam Shamadamavabi Bhagavate Shastre Shraddham. Shraddha is only in Srimad Bhagavatam, nowhere else. Nowhere else. Not in newspaper, television or any other Shastram. Only in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the first thing Prabuddha says here. Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre. What does that mean? Does that mean that you have to go and offend everybody else in this world? Look, all your rubbish. No. Anindam anyatra chabihi. Never to insult another literature. Anything related to Krishna consciousness. Or whether it is different parts of the world, different kinds of religious literature is present. Different people are following that. Prabuddha says here, Aninda anyatra chabihi. Under no circumstances one should disturb others' mind. Under no circumstances one should disturb others' mind. Manuva karmadandam ja satyam shamadamavabi. Anyatra anindam ja manuva karmadandam ja satyam shamadamavabi. Then mind, manasa, mind, walk, the words and the body. Complete control of that. Karma dandam cha satyam shamam damam abhi. Truthfulness, purity inside, and all the sense, in complete control of the senses. All these things one should learn. Then he says here, Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam Hare Albhuta Karmanah. The next thing is Shravanam, hearing. What? Kirtanam Dhyanam Hare Albhuta Karmanah. Janma Karma Gunanam Ja Tadarthe Akhila Jeshtidam. Albhuta Karmanah Harehe Janma Karma Gunanam Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam Tadarthe Akhila Jeshtidam. It says here, continuously hearing about Krishna's pastimes, appearance, pastimes, qualities, and constantly hearing about glorifying and remembering them, and offering everything to Krishna. Tadarte aghila jeshtidam, offering everything to Krishna. So, if one is doing all this, what will happen to him? What will happen to him is that he will feel happiness not only within himself. When he sees someone else who is doing it, also he will feel happy. That is the beauty of that. He'll feel happy if somebody else is doing it. That is the symptom of a person who is engaged in this, developing this Bhagavata Dharma. That he will feel exact happiness when he sees somebody else is doing it. Tadarthe agilajayashtidam. He says here, Satyam shamadamavabhi manokva karmadandam ja satyam shamadamavabhi janma karma gunanam ja tadarthe agila jeshtidam. then the question will come, if it is like that, what about the materialists, when who is always engaged in their activities? They also have their own ideas, isn't it? There you can't do anything about it, because what it is said about that is Yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. What it means is, we are what we are and they are what they are. That you can't do anything about it. We are what we are and they are what they are. That's why it says, yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. They are what they are and we are what we are. And it will be like that. There's nothing you can say about that. Just like when one is advancing in this path of spiritual life, he would, from the external world, he will experience a lot of difficulties. People will drive you to this way, that way, because people, for all their selfish reasons, they will find to use others also, in whichever way they want to utilize others. So, in such situations, it is very difficult. That it is very, one, without knowing what is the ultimate goal in all these things, in the purpose of spiritual life, he'll get driven by that. But when they find that you are of no use to them, then they will reject you straight away. They'll have no problem. That is the mentality of the materialist. Materialist nature is like that. Materialists think that everyone in this world to be used for their purpose, whatever they want to use you for. If they can't get you to do what they want you to do for their benefit, whatever, even in the garb of spiritualists they can appear and use you for their purpose, and if you don't fulfill their desire, you are useless. You are totally useless. And after some time, they will reject you to such a level that you will find that you are rejected by everybody. You are rejected by everybody. The hardcore materialists, they will reject you easily because they know that you are of no use to them materially, so they will reject you. But even spiritualists will reject you when they may be spiritualists, but once they sense that you are not doing the things the way they want you to do, rather your mind is working in a little different direction, and then they will also reject you. So one sannyasi put up a board outside his house like this. Useless to the world. Worthless to the, in the world. Like that, this is this. He says, please contact me if anyone is interested in talking to somebody. Like that. He put up a board like this. Why? He said like this, that as far as I am concerned, in their eyes, I am a surplus in this world. I am no use to them. So I am a surplus, I understand, as they say, that I am not of much use to you. Materialists will reject you, definitely, because they say you are not working hard, earning enough, and making, developing economically, isn't it? If you're not doing economic development, you are finished. You are useless in this world. That is the first stamp they put on you. The spiritualists will also put the same stamp on you, because They think that you are not doing what they want you to. They are not bothered whether you are inquiring about the self or the soul or anything. That's not their problem. They want you to do what they want you to do. That's what it is. So, it is, for a spiritualist, it is very hard, always. He has to deal with so many situations like this. This will always happen. So it says here, Ishtam dattam tado japtam vrittam ya chalpana priyam dharan sudhan grihan pranan yalpa rasmai nivedanam. Then a devotee who is saying like seeing this, he offers everything, including his wife, children, home, and all of it to Krishna. What does that mean? To engage everyone, all the members of the family, in Krishna's service. That's what it means. Offer everything means to engage everyone in Krishna's service. Dharan, Sudhan, Grihan, Pranan, Yat Parasmai Nivedanam. Everything should be offered to Krishna. Then in the next verse he says, Evam Krishna Alpanatheshu Manusheshu Jasauhidam Parijaryam Chobhayatra Mahalsu Nushasadushum. Then Evam Krishna Alpanatheshu, knowing very well that Krishna is my Lord and Krishna is my soul, knowing very well, and those who are living accordingly, and he will develop friendship with them. And even with the stavaram and jangamam, stavaram means moving and non-moving, in both of them he will see Krishna's presence and he will develop an attachment to them in that way, in that realization, particularly those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. And he will also learn, he should learn how to serve the devotees who are situated in that platform. That is how it said, who are situated in that platform, how they should be served. Then it says here, Parasparanukatanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashas Midhoradhir Midhastushtir Nivartir Midhamalpana. This is a very important verse. What is the symptom of a person like that? For him, Parasparanukatanam is very important. If he meets another devotee, he discusses about Krishna. He doesn't discuss anything else. Discussion about Krishna means not only discussing the Krishna's pastimes. You have to remember that also. Anything related with spiritual life is Krishna. Anything related with spiritual life is Krishna. So, moment you discuss about spirit soul and spirit soul's activities, particularly to free oneself from the identification with the body, and when one is endeavoring in that direction, that is discussion about Krishna, because spirit is Krishna. Parasparanu kathanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashas Midho Radhir Mithastushtir Nivartir Mithamalmana. In the advanced devotee, he will discuss about Krishna's confidential pastimes. At different levels, different things will be discussed. Like when we talk about Krishna's rasa dance, ordinary devotees will find it difficult to discuss that, isn't it? Because of the complexity of that particular pastime. Another devotee could discuss the pastime of Krishna stealing the butter and Yashoda Devi's Damodara Leela pastimes. That could be discussed by some devotees and they will find happiness in that. So depending on a devotee's nature or devotee's realizations, he could discuss different levels of pastimes of Krishna also. Parasparanukadanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashas, Krishna's glories, Bhagavad Yashas Midho Radhir Mithasushtir Nivratir Mithamalpana. This mutual discussion is important thing. Why is it important? Because by doing that, that devotion increases on both sides of the persons, both people who are involved in the discussion, both gets benefited from that. This idea, where did it come from? It comes from Prahlada. Prahlada gave this idea to Krishna and Krishna put it in the Bhagavad Gita. That is how this has come. Krishna was amazed by Prahlada's definition of bhakti and Prahlada's discussion on this point. It says in the Parasparanukadanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yashal Midhoradir Midhastushtir Nivartir Mithamalmana. This was the point which Prahlada has given to Krishna. And it's the same point what Prabuddha has spoken here also. Now, those who are living like this, what happens to them? That is in the next two verses.
Smarandasmarayandascha mito akhaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyat pulagam tanim. Akhaugaharam harim smarandasmarayandascha bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya ulpulagam tadam vibhadi,
it says. The beauty here is, you will see there on word, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. What does that mean? From bhakti, bhakti comes, it says. Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. What it says there is, normally, bhakti, we call it as sadhana bhakti, isn't it? What we practice is sadhana bhakti. This sadhana bhakti, when it comes to a perfectional stage, when we are, sadhana bhakti comes to perfectional stage, Krishna gives the devotee the proper realizations. In other words, the knowledge. Knowledge comes to him. When that knowledge comes to him, the type of devotion changes from sadhana bhakti to parabhakti, pure bhakti. So that is what it means here. Bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. Between two bhakti, like a sandwich. This side is sadhana bhakti. This side is the pure bhakti, parabhakti. In between this knowledge. Knowledge that has come from Krishna's mercy, through Krishna's mercy. Because in sadhana bhakti stage, we have no clue, especially in the beginning like all of us, we have no clue where we are, do we? We are trying. What we do, like a regimented army style, we practice our bhakti today. Isn't it? Most of us, I don't know about, at least me, put it like that. We all do it, get up, you have to get up in the morning. 3 o'clock, alarm is on, 3 o'clock it rings, I wake up, go and bathe, get up, ready, and then to chant, I have to finish my 16 rounds before 6 o'clock. All done in a forceful mode. Nothing done out of love, or nothing done out of any proper bhakti. It is not, that's in the sadhana stage. It is always like that. When this sadhana bhakti comes to a stage where it has come to a perfectional stage, at that point, Krishna gives us the proper understanding of spiritual life, in other words. That's when we understand what spiritual life is all about. Up to that point, everything is forced on us. We will say so many things that, oh, I went on parikrama, I did this, I did that, I don't, I met so and so people, I formed so many ekadashis, I followed, and I celebrated this, I had this feast, I had that feast, so many preparations for the feast, all I can discuss. But at the end of the day, this sadhana bhakti, unless it comes to perfection, Krishna is not going to give us the proper understanding of spiritual life at that point. When that knowledge starts coming in, you will see the type of bhakti changes, the nature of bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, you may have so many material desires going along with it. Isn't it? We are all in that category. We want our bhakti and we want our salary also, same time. So when these two things are going together, that sadhana bhakti won't bring easily results. That's why sadhana bhakti goes for a long period of time. But later on, when it comes to a state, where you can see that bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya, from this bhakti, that bhakti comes. In other words, from sadhana bhakti, it turns into parabhakti or pure bhakti. So that is the proper bhakti, what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. Not the kind of sadhana bhakti what we are talking about. Even sadhana bhakti, when it is spoken in the Bhagavatam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, the nine processes of devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Even those nine processes, if it is tinged with material benefits and material motives, even that is not even in the sadhana bhakti. It's not even bhakti. It's not even bhakti. What to talk about sadhana bhakti? It is not even bhakti. Even those nine things are to be practiced without any material motivations. Not that when a danger is coming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That is not bhakti. That is a fear inside coming out in another form. So the important thing to remember is that these nine processes, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, in the sadhana stage even, is to be free from all material, tinge of material consciousness. It should be free from that. Otherwise, even that is not considered to be bhakti. That is why in the Bhagavadam, when they discuss bhakti, Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari, three categories are discussed, isn't it? So out of that, even Kanishtadhikari's role is not bad, even if we can get to that. Because even Kanishtadhikari, although he is not seeing Krishna anywhere, although he is feeling he is feeling all the anarthas of this world, still he has come to Krishna. He has come to Krishna. That is a qualification for him. So even one can stay in that level, gradually, in due course, he will move on to the Madhyamadhikari stage. That is what the instructions are in this case. So, now, at this point, that person, he says here, in the verse 32, Now, that person, he is always remembering Krishna. What does he do? He makes others also to remember Krishna. Not only he remembers, he reminds others also of Krishna. And then the bhakti, smaranishmido akhaugaharam harim, that his body is always vibrat ulpulagam thanim. His body is always feeling that, how do you say, the romancham, or in other words, he's feeling he's feeling from the devotional ecstasy. He is experiencing different forms, that ecstasy in his body. He's always experiencing that. So this verse and the next verse, kojil drudachchida chindayal kojil, the next verse is also an explanation of his nature. What is that? Kojil drudandi achchida chindayal kojil hasandi nandandi vadandi alaukikaha. So, because of Achyuta Chinda, thinking about Krishna, what happens to him? Kojil Hasandi, he will laugh without any sense. You may think, why is he laughing? Like a mad person, he may laugh. He's laughing. Why is he laughing? Because you don't know why is he laughing. You think he has gone crazy. But actually he says here, why does he laugh? He is laughing. He thinks about some of the pastimes of Krishna. And he thinks about Krishna to such a degree, he thinks that how Krishna under certain situations have dealt in certain ways with different devotees. Like you can see the example of that in Bhishma's prayers. When Krishna came to see him off at the last minute, when Bhishma was leaving the body, on the 58th day after the Mahabharata war, Krishna came to see him, and Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. Lying there, he looked at Krishna and started glorifying him, thanking him for coming to see him, and so many things he said. In the middle of that he started saying that I have not forgotten what you have done to me that day in the battlefield, he says. He switched the whole thing, and at that point Krishna put his full head down. He couldn't keep his head up, he put his head down. Why? Because in the battlefield, Bhishma took the vow that I'll force may Krishna to take the to take the weapon. Krishna said, I will not take the weapon. But that situation was developed at the end when Krishna has taken the weapon to kill Bhishma. That was enough for Bhishma. He didn't want anything after that. So he was saying, reminding Krishna with that smile. That smile is what's referring to here. How he felt that ecstasy, thinking about that incident. And other devotees also feel the same thing, kind of things what Krishna has done in dealing with devotees at different times. That gave that pleasure to them. And that is why, kojil hasandi, then kojidrudal achyudajindaya. Sometimes thinking about Krishna, they are crying. Why are they crying? reason for crying is this, that how much time in my life I have wasted without thinking about Krishna. I have been thinking about all rubbish in this world and wasted all my time in engaging in dealing with this rubbish. Because what does thinking about Krishna means? Thinking about Krishna means thinking about the soul, isn't it? Because soul is the one that connects us with Krishna, not these five material elements or the mind or the intelligence or the senses. It is the soul that is connected with Krishna. So had we thought about this connection strongly from the beginning in life, would we have wasted all our lifetime to attach with the matter? No. So therefore, once this conviction comes to us strongly, that I have wasted all my life in thinking about matter and materialistic objects, how unfortunate I am, when that thought comes to him, he cries. Kojidvidanachuda chindaya kojil hasandi nandandi vadandi alogigaha. And sometimes he feels extreme bliss thinking about getting that opportunity to see Krishna. And because of the result of that, vadandi alaugigaha, he will speak something which does not belong to this world. He may speak certain things which may have no significance with this world. So what will happen? At that point, we will start calling him a mad person. Isn't it? We will call him, he is mad, because he is talking so many things which makes no sense to us. In our language, it makes no sense. But he is talking about something, what he is realizing in his relationship with Krishna. That's why he says, alaugigaha, it is not from this world, not from this logam, alaugigam, above, beyond this world. So when such a word comes from that person, vadandi alaugigaha, you have to realize that he is in that consciousness. He is in that consciousness. Nrityandi, what else he does? He starts dancing. Gayandi, he starts singing. Now, we are also dancing, isn't it, sometimes, but not in this state. Our dancing is little different. Our dancing is, somebody tells us to dance, yeah, I'll dance also, I'll also join you. That's our mode of dancing. But this dancing is little different than our style of dancing. We, young people sometimes, you see, or young girls also, they dance, you've seen sometimes, they dance in the temple room. Do not misunderstand that they have come to this level that they are dancing like that. They are dancing because they feel some happiness in that. There's no doubt about that. Pleasure of dancing. But dancing after realizing Krishna is a different kind of dance. That is, that you cannot describe that. That's why it's said like this. That nurtyandi, gayandi, anishilayandi, ajambhavandi, tushnim, parametyanarvradaham. That if you want to know who danced like that, the best example in the Bhagavadam is gopis, who danced in this way, what Bhagavadam says. When Krishna left and ran away from gopis in the middle of the rasa dance, and the gopis were looking for Krishna, the way they spoke, the way they danced, and the way some of them started acting like Krishna. One of them said, Krishnoham, I am Krishna, one says, one gopi says. And they were talking to all the plants and the trees. Hey Malavi, there is a list of plants and trees mentioned there, inquiring from them, have you seen Krishna? So in that state of consciousness, the way they speak, the way they act is totally different. Totally different. So that's why it is said that nrityandi gayandi anishilayandyajam bhavandi tushnim parametyanarvradaham. That sometimes they'll be very quiet because they'll be so absorbed in Krishna's thoughts. So in this way, in the next verse he says here, iti bhagavadam dharman shikshan bhakya tadutaya narayana paro maya anjastaradi dustaram. One who has become Krishna conscious like that, he can cross over maya. And what is the symptom of that? He is called Narayana Para. He has become Narayana Para. In other words, he has become to that degree of Krishna consciousness. He says, Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. This difficult Maya, which is difficult to cross over, he can cross through that very easily. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.